Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the members of the public gallery and to the press. This is the ordinary council meeting of Monday, the 26th of August 2019, and it is 5:30. As council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it is council policy to record council meetings. In accordance with Council's audio recording policy, the audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant Council officer and advise of their wishes. Item 1.0 is apologies. Councillor Ennis is currently on a leave of absence. And everyone else is present. Item 2.0, declarations of interest. Do I have any declarations of interest in any item on this agenda?
You do, Mayor. Items 8.5 and 8.6.
8.5, 8.6. Thank you.
You do, Mayor. Items 3.2.1, 3.2.2 and item 8.6.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Are there any other declarations of interest in any item on the agenda? Right, thank you. We will move along to item 3.1.1, Council meeting of the 22nd of July, confirmation of those minutes. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Happy to second that, Mayor.
Councillor Perry, Councillor Laycock, Councillor Perry, anything
nothing,
to add?
Nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Laycock?
Nothing to add.
Any comments?
Yes, Mayor. Just in relation to... I'll just pull it up here. When this gets to work. The resolution to move into closed session, it should read audio recorded. It's only got recorded in the wording.
Audio recorded? If we could make that amendment... Thank you. Noting that amendment, Councillor Murphy, thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1 is responses to questions from raised at previous meetings. Do I have a mover for that motion? Oh, I apologise, Councillor Murphy.
You do, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock, do I have a seconder? Any comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillor Murphy's out of the room for the next section as well. Item 3.2.2, questions on notice from the public.
So moved.
Councillor Perry, thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hollister, thank you. Councillor Perry, any comments?
Several questions asked and answered. So nothing else to add to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister? Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Mr. Dobson, would you? Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Item 3.2.3 is questions without notice from the public. And a reminder that there are 3 minutes allowed for each person who might like to ask a question, giving your name and address with 3 minutes, and you may ask two questions. Thank you.
All right, Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. Dear Chairperson, I'd like to submit this question. Early this year, your workers did a resale at 117 Bess Street, Devonport, as the bitumen was starting to deteriorate. Will you be doing the same, replacing the temporary sill at 168 to 170 Bess Street, as this section is starting to break up as well? Could I have written replies, please?
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Right, this is a three-part question on safety within this building. Under the Australian standards, AS 1657, a maximum height for steps is 225 millimetres. Your steps onto the stage for gospel song, which is held on the third floor of the Parramatta Centre on the 25th of July, were at least 400 millimetres high. This created a great risk for the elderly members of the 11 choirs who had to step up onto the various levels of the stage. It was observed that you had to have volunteers assisting the elderly members of each choir onto these higher steps and off these steps after each performance. One would have thought when the council employs engineers in this building, they would have come up with a safer design. Why doesn't the safety of the public have a higher priority if the stage setup works at the Don Centre, which is a much smaller venue? It should be able to happen here as well. If the stage area has to protrude further out into the audience, so be it, for the safety of the choir members. How can injuries be avoided from revolving door to the entrance of an exit of this Parramatta Centre? An elderly patron was injured by this door on the night of the gospel song. One injury is one too many for ratepayers of this city. You don't have a revolving door on the Rook Street entrance, which works fine without one. So why do you have to have a revolving door? Is it for prestige, as it is the only one in Devonport? Do we just let patrons get knocked over when you have large events like this? Does it come down to cost, once more, to rectify this situation? What can be done about the speed settings of the escalators in the Parramatta Centre? On the same night of the gospel song concert, a member of the public was also injured from exiting the escalator. This isn't the first time this has happened. Will the speed settings be decreased? And signage put in place to warn the elderly to watch their step exiting the escalators? Could I have a written reply, please, as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
My name's Douglas Janney, and my address is 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. Some time ago, the council was measuring the gas flow from the old tip site at the transfer station. The question is, what was the outcome of that measuring assessment?
Thank you, Mr. Don. We'll take that on notice, thank you.
Second question, in Stewart Street at the post office, there are 5-minute parking plots. What revenue does the council get for these plots?
That would be no revenue because they're free parking for 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Janey.
Malcolm Garden, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mondetta. I'd just firstly like to commend Jeff Dobson for what is a very frank, warts and all, review of the Julie Burgess in the current agenda. It's a pity we didn't have a few more issues around council that we have problems with addressed in the same manner, where we put it all up front for all to see and review. My first question is, with reference to item 8.4, lease 21 Oldacre Street, listed for closed session tonight, and assuming the lease is from council to an external entity, is there a written agreement between council and the state government, for the transfer of ownership of the old library link premises to council? And is the transfer of ownership now complete?
Thank you, Mr. Garden. Mr. Atkins?
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor, the development agreement that Council has with the State Government in regard to Living City Stage 1, as part of that was the arrangements around the transfer of the library building, the 21 Old Acre Street, to Council, and that is in the process of being finalised.
So it's in the development agreement with State Government, correct?
Yeah, an attachment to that agreement.
Attachment to that agreement?
That was the overarching agreement that outlined the arrangement.
An attachment to that agreement?
This isn't a debate, Mr. Carter.
Clarification, please, Mayor. Clarification?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. There was a document that specifically resulted around that transfer, and from what I can recall, that is referenced in the development agreement. So the development agreement is certainly the overarching document. There was a separate transfer document that was executed around the title becoming moving to council.
And that hasn't quite, the transfer, the land title hasn't gone through
that's
yet?
That's right. There's a number of conditions and that had to be finalised for that title to transfer, and it's very close to completed.
Question two. With reference to item 8.5, Probador Place Cooking Centre lease, and in particular item 8.6, Probador Place, a very broad statement, Probador Place, both listed for closed session tonight, the latter is far too vague to appropriately satisfy the meeting regulations. Accordingly, is Council tonight considering a proposal to put to the Probador Place head lessee to reduce rent and or waive arrears of rent to gain the head lessee approval for the TasTAFE Drysdale Cooking Centre lease? And is it correct that if the Probador Place head lease is valid, Council cannot lease part of Probador Place to TasTAFE unless the head lessee agrees?
Mr. Gardam, as you have already stated, those items are in closed session, so I won't be making any comment around that at this point.
No. Clarification. And you can't tell us whether any rent's being paid,
Mr.
or
Gardam,
not,
this
and
is,
that is definitely not commercial in confidence.
This isn't a debate. Thank
you. Question three, time permitting. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bellacott.
Thank you, Mayor. Bob Vellacott, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. Mayor, there is much confusion among ratepayers, and also it appears Council, as to the actual amount of rent revenue Probador Place Devonport Proprietary Limited agreed to pay per year for the head lease of Probador Place. Question. Will you, for the record, inform ratepayers and others who are confused, categorically state what the specified amount that was agreed upon? Can you do that, please?
Mr. Bellacott.
It was 400,000, sorry?
No, I can't, thank you.
You can't? Oh. Well, can I just say...
Did you have a second question?
To clarify, I think it needs a bit of clarification.
Mr. Bellacott, we've had this discussion before. This is not a debate. Did you have a second question?
I'm not debating. I'm trying to get onto the question.
Thank you.
Stop your bullying. Thank you. I refer to a statement published in The Advocate the 11th of November 2016 about the 10-year head lease agreement between Council and Probador Place Proprietary Limited, and I quote, "The Council confirmed the projected food pavilion income meets the previously released Stage 1 projected funding model revenue for the site of $400,000. Question. Seeing as Council has previously proffered that there was a 10-year head lease agreement and categorically stated the revenue for that site would indeed be $400,000 per year, will you now inform, has that amount been paid?
Mr. Bellacott, this is part of a closed session and I will take that on notice. Thank you. I will respond in writing.
I thought it would be a very simple question to save your staff writing again.
Thank you, Mr. Bellacott.
I reserve the right to have a third question. Thank you.
Was there anyone else? Ms. Clear?
Jenny Clear, 57 Gun Street, Devonport. Mayor, my question concerns the Arborist report for the Waterfront Park. On the 25th of March this year, I asked when Council was going to get the Arborist report done. At that time, 4 months had elapsed since the Parkland Plan was approved. The response from the General Manager was as follows, and I'm quoting from the minutes of that meeting. The General Manager advised at this stage there will be an arborist engaged to undertake an assessment of the trees once the final plans are prepared for construction. It would be premature to appoint an arborist to assess the trees, particularly in some cases where the trees are not going to be touched. So, until that final construction plan is completed, based on the feedback that Council gave to the architects at the end of February, it would be premature to appoint an arborist. That was from the Devonport City Council meeting minutes 25th of the 3rd, 19. So at that time, the 25th of March this year, we were given to understand that an arborist had not yet been appointed and no report had been done. Yet, when the report was placed on the Council website on the 21st of June 2019, it was dated the 10th of March 2019. Mayor, can you tell us when the arborist was appointed and when the report was received by our Council, and explain why the General Manager stated that an arborist had not been appointed when at the time that statement was made, it seems that not only had the arborist been appointed, he had been to Devonport, inspected the trees and written the report.
Thank you, Ms. Clare. Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, I'll answer that, Madam Mayor. Look, there was the statement the General Manager made at the time was his understanding of the situation. When we did look into the files, we found that an arborist had done a study on those on a number of those trees previously for different reasons. So our works department had had a study done, and as a result of that, we didn't get them to come and do the same work again. I think from memory we got them to do some additional work that wasn't part of their original assessment, and then we put all that together, and that all that information was made available on the website. So there was certainly not denying that we found some of that information on file that we were able to use, but then we had some further work done, and then all of the information that Council had in regard to the trees was made public via the website.
So just to clarify, you're saying that the 10th of March date refers to work done by the Works Department of the Council?
There was some information that our Works Department had obtained for other reasons that the General Manager and people involved with Living City weren't aware of at the time. Rather than have that work done twice, we utilised that information and put it with the new information and made all that publicly available.
Could I just point out, for the benefit of the public gallery and the councillors, that this is the NSPEC, the cover of the NSPEC Arborist Report. That is the only Arborist Report that is on the Council website, and it is dated the 10th of March. It's the report done by the arborist from Melbourne.
Thank you, Ms. Clare. Perhaps we will just follow up and check that we do have the full report on the website. It's my understanding that all of the details that we had is
available. Yes, I'm not disputing that the report is on the website, because that's where I got this from.
Thank you.
What I'm concerned about is the date, because the Council not only had the General Manager say that report hadn't been done on the 25th of March, this report was not released until halfway through June on the Council website, and it wasn't published in the Advocate until the 19th of July, which was 2 weeks before the work on the park actually started, which gave people who may have wanted to comment on this report very little time to say anything.
Thank you, Ms. Clare. Your comments are noted.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
I do have a second question.
Yes.
This question refers to the closure of the Red Line bus depot in Devonport. In June, we learnt that the Red Line bus depot was to close, and that this was due to instructions from the Department of State Growth, and that it was not the Red Line bus company's preferred option to revert to a curbside service. It was also reported that our mayor said it would obviously be better for our constituents if there was an undercover facility. That was in the Advocate on the 25th of June 2019. However, it seems that the Red Line bus will start and finish at the new upgraded bus facility that is now being constructed in Rook Street as part of the Living City project. The Parkland plan shows this upgraded facility to be a number of shelters open on three sides facing east, with what appears to be a concrete block on the ground on one side, presumably for seating. There's a little figure pictured sitting on it. Public outcry earlier this year resulted in the concession of sides being placed on these shelters. They will still be open to the weather on one side. So, Mayor, my question is this. Can we please have an updated and detailed artist's impression of what these shelters will look like? And also, can you tell us how this is an upgrade compared to sitting on upholstered seating in the comfort of a proper waiting room and then boarding the bus, all the while being undercover, as we have been doing for 37 years at the current Red Line depot?
Thank you, Ms Clare, and certainly I take on board comments around Red Line bus. However, that's not a decision that Council has. I've made my position clear. Council has any influence over. Red Line is a private...
It was not Red Line. It wasn't Red Line's choice to move. It was the Department of State Growth instructions, and I would have thought that our council might have some influence over the Department of State Growth.
We have had conversations, certainly, but in the end, it's a state growth decision, and we've made, as you've already commented, we have made some quite considerable upgrades to the bus shelters as a result of the feedback that we've had, and I will. I will make sure that we have those upgraded concept plans.
Through you, Mayor, the plans that Ms Clare's referring to are the most recent. There's no further artist impressions.
Thank you.
Are they on the website?
We'll check.
Yes, I will check.
We'll ensure that they are.
Okay.
Thank you.
It seems they will still be open on one side to the weather.
Thank you.
My name is Ian Martin, 11 Newton Street. I too commend Jeff Dobson's comprehensive report on the Julie Burgess and the detail enclosed. Mayor Rockcliffe and councillors, it is now almost 10 years since the Julie Burgess project was first commissioned. It is important for everyone to understand that the prime objective of this project was to enhance and promote maritime heritage and history of Devonport to the wider community. There have been other benefits that have flowed, but the promotion of the city has always been at the forefront. The city has now attracted a national maritime conference presented by the Australian Maritime Museums Council in October this year. It is also intended that the Endeavour replica will visit Devonport to mark the 250th anniversary of Captain Cook's arrival in Australia. The question, therefore, is has the Julie Burgess delivered on the prime objective to enhance and promote the maritime heritage and history of Devonport? It is not for me to provide the answer, however. There is no doubt it is unequivocally yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. As you're aware, it is an item on our agenda tonight, so I can't make any further comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery wish to make a question, put a question to us at this point? In that case, Mr. Gardam, you're up.
Question three. This question relates to the various aspects of the Tasmanian Land Titles Office transfer M732386, which records a duty payment of $490,185 for the land title transfer to the new Crown premises within the Perenapple Centre building, including a proportion of the land the building sits on. Will Council confirm if this payment has been made by Council? And if so, how much did the Crown reimburse Council? And was the duty of $490,185 included in and expended and accounted against the Stage 1 budget allowance?
I'll take it on notice, Mr. Garden. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Were there any other questions? Mr. Velcott?
Mayor, I preface my comments and questions does not in any way refer to the newly elected councillors. However, it should be of interest to them and all ratepayers. I refer to Council's 2017 annual report, Living City Highlights, where ironically under the heading of a secret deal was exposed. This was for some $1,993,626, approximately $2 million, paid to Projects and Infrastructure Proprietary Limited, who were Devonport Council's Living City consultants and managers. Council has continually refused to disclose what this was for. Several aldermen, including one who was actually a council member of the audit panel, admitted that they thought the payment of $2 million was for the total of all amount other payments made over several years to P&I, and thus were unaware what that payment was actually for. I wonder if they've found out yet or are they still in the dark? My question. I now ask you, Mayor, who was responsible for drafting of the agreement that stipulated the amounts in questions to be paid was not to be revealed to ratepayers? Who stipulated that these amounts were not to be revealed to ratepayers?
Mr. Velcott, I'm assuming that would have been a decision of council at that time. Thank you.
The council at that time.
It would have been.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Thank you.
I just wonder why.
Thank you, Mr.
That sort of clause would be in an agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Velicott.
And why you won't disclose it?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I apologise.
Right. with regards to the Gospel Song Night, could each of the choirs that are singing on the night be live streamed to the council meeting rooms, which was this room here. This would allow the singers to visually watch the other performers sing their songs. If it can be done at the Don Centre Church in previous years, it should be able to happen at the Perenapple Centre with technology.
That's a very good point, Mr. Smith, and we'll take that on board. Thank you. You may. Thank you, everyone. We're moving on to item 3.4, notices of motion. Item 3.4.1. Item 3.4.1, Senior Citizens Club Parking. Councillor Jarman.
Let's try this one. Thank you. Yes, I'd like to move that motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Councillor Murphy. Councillor Jarman.
Thanks, Councillor Murphy. This is just asking for us to take this to a workshop level. I understand that there could be an easy way to debate this today. However, I think that what's great is the council staff have certainly given us some options to look at as well. This has come from a meeting with the senior citizens at their AGM. They just asked if we could at least look at this. It's just one option I've come up with. As I said, the staff have come up with some other options. It would be really good just to get it to workshop level and really have a good look at it. We need to help them somehow to alleviate the parking problems that we have caused. I appreciate the good car park that we've created there for the boat, for the boats, as well as RV parking. It's something we've really needed. It's a wonderful car park, but it's certainly utilised more at Christmas. Over that season and in winter it is empty, other than people illegally parking their cars there. So I'd like to see what we could come up with, and I think that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy?
I agree with Councillor Jarman. It's worthy to go to workshop for further discussion.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Councillor Perry?
Thanks, Madam. Yeah, look, I can't see any harm in having a workshop to discuss this issue. I do note in the officer's comments that one issue may be that any relaxation of the current ban on car parking in the boat ramp area is likely to exacerbate the confusion that already surrounds that car park. But that's why we have workshops, and that's why we try and sort these things out and come to a satisfactory resolution that everyone can live with. So I'm going to support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. I can see a lot of problems with this, but I'm not here to debate it tonight. I will vote for this motion because it is for a workshop to discuss the options. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister?
Yes, I'm also going to support it. It is a workshop and there's obviously going to be some issues between boat owners, senior citizens and the RVs. So hopefully the workshop will sort it out.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.4.2, sale of land at Sprayton. Councillor Milbourne.
Consider it moved.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Thank you. Thanks for your consideration this evening. This was brought to me by someone who is interested in the land, so there is interest for sale, and due to the budget deliberations, we did discuss the dispersal of vacant land, so I'd like to move this for the set address. This is a growing area for retirees and young families, and I'd just like to note that I did suggest that there is a caveat to put in a playground into the area as well. So I'd like to hear everyone's ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
Thank you. Look, I might ask a question through you to perhaps Mr. Atkins. We certainly did discuss this at another level at a different time, and I thought because of there were certain hindrances to the actual land, i.e. power poles or something going through, a gas line, was that the issue? And maybe perhaps we need to take this to a workshop. I mean, I'd like to consider it, but...
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, there was certainly some discussion during the budget deliberations last year on this matter. I think there is some power lines that run through there, but we have included an item in our annual plan this year to investigate the matter. So as part of that investigation, I guess we'll look into all those issues and come back with a workshop or a report.
All right. I mean, seeing this is just to investigate and certainly something that we could open up into discussion, I'm happy to look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Councillor Hollister?
Yes, I'm supporting this motion. I think there's quite a lot of areas around the town where we've got land like this that's originally years ago would have been earmarked for playgrounds. I think we're spending more money on the major playgrounds now, and there's very little use in a lot of these small ones. So I think a rationalisation of them, the value from these blocks could be better used to upgrade the current playgrounds. And there's even areas, you know, where there's quite a lot of parklands in some subdivisions that we've already got, and quite considerable. Probably some of them would take probably 50 or 60 houses, and we need to look into those to see if we could do something about the housing shortage. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? I will support the motion. However, I feel that it's probably superfluous in that we do already have a plan in our annual plan to do exactly what the motion suggests. I guess it reinforces the fact that we are keen to continue that conversation. That being said, I will ask Councillor Milbourne to close.
Thanks for your comments. Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.4.3, Pathway Feasibility Study. Councillor Milbourne.
Consider it moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Thank you. This comes from another group of people living in the same area. If you can look on page 34, you'll see that there is a pathway towards the creek that was a necessary requirement of the subdivision. However, no further planning has ever been undertaken pertaining towards continuation of the pathway. Therefore, I think it's only fair for the subdivider and those that are building in the area that the feasibility study goes forward. A path over the creek towards Maidstone Park would allow a pathway, a safe pathway for students and children walking to the school. At the moment, they walk around past the shops, and it's extremely busy and a lot of movement in that area at school times, so it'd be a lot safer for those children, and it will link to the bike park that already negotiates around Coiba onto Formby Road and into the city. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This notice of motion is similar to the previous one in that we have already discussed it, and it was discussed in our 2019-20 budget deliberations, if you recall, and at that point we decided then that we would do some work on it in coming months. It was actually raised by a constituent that lives in the area, because of that it was brought forward for discussion. It's not part of any five-year capital expenditure program at the moment, but I guess there's nothing stopping us from having a workshop to bring forward potential to do something in this area. But as I said, it is already on our agenda, and I guess we'll get to it in due course. But yeah, the fact it's been raised probably does bring it forward ahead of some other projects we may do. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. Seeing that Councillor Perry has just mentioned about workshopping it, I'd like a little bit more information other than just the one photo that we do have. I wouldn't mind an overhead shot of exactly where this is proposed. Certainly that would come into the report as well. So I'm certainly happy to look at it. Yes, it was discussed. I can remember Councillor Emerton bringing it up, Alderman Emerton bringing it up quite a while ago too, and we did discuss it at that level as well. So it's certainly something that's in the offing, and I think it's certainly well worth looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister.
Yes, I think this is a needed pathway. There's quite a big subdivision in that area, linking right up through to Wood Rising. At least I think this is a pathway that would get a fair bit of use. My big worry in the future is that some of these coastal pathways, I'm just glad that our municipality is as small as it is, because there's going to be a lot of maintenance from some of the other municipalities for the area, for the length of their coastal tracks.
Very good point. Are there any other comments? Councillor Milbourne, to close.
Thank you for your comments. I do note, and I know we have discussed it, but I don't believe it's been official, and I feel that putting the motion forward has made it more official and maybe put a bit of a time on it so something actually does happen. If Alderman Emerton discussed it quite some time ago, not much has happened, a lot of discussion has occurred. So hopefully this feasibility study will actually bring it forward a little bit, and we'll be able to then perhaps put it in the plan moving forward. Thank you. Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 4.0.
Point of order, Mayor, if I may, I do have another notice of motion to be tabled.
A notice of motion?
Yes, that's correct.
Advice from the gentleman.
Yes, through you, Madam Mayor. Look, Council's only able to consider items that are on the agenda unless it's there's a number of things in the Act. It needs to be an urgent matter. There needs to be good reason why it wasn't on the agenda. And The general manager also needs to be confident that the necessary qualified advice can be provided, so otherwise we're unable to add anything to the agenda.
Thank you.
I beg to differ. Section 16 of the meeting regulations, if during a meeting a councillor intends to move a motion of which notice has not been given, the chairperson of the meeting may require the councillor to provide a written copy of the motion, one written copy. That is subsection 1 of the Act. The chairperson of the meeting is the chairperson of the meeting is not allowed a motion to be debated or otherwise dealt with unless it's been moved by one councillor and seconded by another councillor.
I will just suspend the meeting and I will. May I see the motion, please? Councillor Murphy, if I allow this, I will, both myself and the deputy and the acting general manager will need to leave the room, won't we?
I would need to seek clarification on that.
I guess my advice, Mayor, is stands, as I previously said.
At the risk of being considered shutting down, Mr. Murphy, you can put it on the next agenda. Thank you.
I don't think that would be acceptable, Mayor, in relation to it is pertaining to agenda items on this particular meeting, and I think it is pertinent that it at least should be put.
In that case, I will allow it. And I will allow the councillors present to make that decision.
Thank you. So is the process now I read the motion or do I give that to... I'm quite happy to read it.
I will need to vacate the chair. I will ask the deputy mayor. I don't think that's appropriate. I'm happy. I will allow the motion to be put. I will ask you to take the chair, please. And
just wait for the general. Is this on? Thank you. Sorry about that. I'll just explain what I'm going to do with this meeting then for the moment. I'll just find out from the Acting General Manager what his advice is to decide whether how we go forward. One moment. Thank you. Thank you. You'll have to leave the room.
Yeah, through you, Deputy Mayor, I'll declare an interest in this item and leave the room.
Thank you. Does that make you acting general manager in the room at the moment? No. Acting, okay. Thank you. Councillor Murphy, could you please read out the notice of motion that you are intending to put in without writing?
I will provide it in writing.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Yep. The motion is that a motion of no confidence be moved against the Mayor and Acting General Manager in relation to the lack of proper governance with respect to agenda items 8.5 and 8.6 of the agenda of the ordinary meeting held Monday 26th of August 2019.
I'd like to declare an interest.
Thank you. You can leave the room too. Thank you, Councillor Milbourne. Anyone else want to leave the room?
I'm thinking.
That now leaves us with I have been instructed by the Acting General Manager that, seeing he had to leave the room, he had to give me some advice. We need an absolute majority for that motion to be successful. So, Councillor Murphy, do you want to forward that motion yourself?
I can move the motion, yes.
Thank you. And a seconder?
I'll second that.
Councillor Alexiou is seconding the motion. Thank you. So I think we need to now ask Mr. Murphy, Councillor Murphy, to speak on his motion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Do I call you Deputy Mayor or Chair?
That'll do.
Obviously, in relation to this motion, it does relate to items that are going to be considered in closed session, so therefore it may sound a little bit funny to some of the members in the public gallery as to why. But it specifically relates to minutes from previous closed session meetings, those being minute 62/19 and the resolution of that meeting. It also relates to minute 83/19 and the resolution within that particular closed session meeting. And it also relates to a report on agenda item 8.5 on page 181 of tonight's agenda in the closed session section, a report that was prepared for council, and specifically the paragraph or the item of 13.5. That there has given cause to great concern from my view in relation to the lack of proper governance. Hence, we have two agenda items currently before us this evening, which I believe have lacked the necessary precision and detail for us to make a decision on.
Thank you. Councillor Alexiou, your turn to speak on that motion.
Yeah, look, I fully support Councillor Murphy on this. We can't go into it. We can't give too much detail to the ratepayers that are here at the moment, but for the rest of the other councillors that are here, they have all that information in front of them, and we basically received all this information Wednesday afternoon, so it was quite a fair bit to go through. And this motion had to be put through on tonight's meeting very quickly, hence that's what's happened. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this? Councillor Laycock?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I feel that this is completely out of order for the simple reason Councillor Murphy has declared a conflict of interest in Provador Place on many occasions. He's done the right thing. Oh, however, he has sat through workshops, which, as you know, I've spoken against before. I mean, to me, if you're in a workshop, if you declare an interest at a formal council meeting, you shouldn't have any information on those issues sent to you. But that's another story. But I'm wondering why we can do this, or Councillor Murphy can do this, putting forward a motion of no confidence against our Mayor and Acting General Manager in something that he wasn't part of. I'll stand to be corrected on that. Were you part of that? Can I ask a question through to...
Absolutely.
Councillor Murphy, were you at that meeting where agenda... 8.5 is on tonight's agenda, isn't it? Obviously, that's Provador Place. I just don't see the relevance here. I just think it's just totally out of order, and I certainly will be voting against it.
Thank you. Any of the other councillors in the room liking to speak on?
I won't.
Councillor Hollister.
I won't be supporting the motion either. I think what's been said here, we need advice, and the advice is out of the room. So I'm certainly not going to support it any further.
Thank you. Any comments, Councillor Perry? No. Thank you. So it leaves it up to me. I'm certainly interested in this notice of motion on the content more than who it's aimed at. I've certainly had issues in the past, and everybody knows that. So I think we need to put this to the vote and put this to bed. So... Councillor Murphy, you'd like to close?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just in relation to Councillor Laycock's comment with regard to participating workshops, that's been clarified by the Director of the Local Government Division, where Alex Tay, where it is permitted for me to sit in those particular meetings. But more importantly, I'm referring to information that's past tense where I haven't been present in those meetings, but what I am questioning is the level of governance that has been applied in relation to the continuation of those particular meetings and how we have ended up in that situation. That is the reason for the motion. Nothing else. It's not personal. It's got nothing to do with being personal. It's about adhering to a particular piece of legislation, which is the Local Government Act of 1993, and our annual report, where our vision is to be accountable and to abide by proper good governance. I'll now close it.
Thank you. So I will have all those in favour of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against?
Nay.
So we will just formally put that. Those in favour are Councillor Murphy, put hand up, Councillor Alexiou and Councillor Jarman. Those against are Councillor Hollister, Councillor Laycock and Councillor Perry. It needs to be 5-1, Councillor Murphy, for it to be an absolute majority, so it does not go through. Thank you. I will get our Acting General Manager and Mayor back in. Thank you.
All right, moving on. Item 4.0, Planning Authority Matters. There are none to report. Item 5.0, Reports. Item 5.1, the Dooley Burgess Operational Review.
So moved.
We have a couple of options.
Oh, sorry, Mayor. I move option C.
Option C. Councillor Laycock, Councillor Hollister, option C. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. The Dooley Burgess was left rotting in the Mersey River, which was a shame as it had a lot of history and stories to tell. The Dooley Burgess, as you would have read, received a federal government grant, jobs grant, for the restoration project through the Heritage Funding. And I'd just like to make it clear, for those that said that money could have been better spent elsewhere, it had to go through Heritage, so we couldn't have done that. As a cultural heritage icon, the Dooley Burgess is integral to Devonport's tourism identity. This vessel is in better condition than it's ever been, and it is listed on the Australian Register for Heritage Vessels and is a classified ship with the National Trust. As I think you heard earlier tonight, we are hosting an AMMC workshop here in October, and I understand already the board have booked a cruise and so have guests who are coming to that workshop slash conference. I move this motion because I believe the Dooley Burgess needs more time to build on the last 18 months of marketing. because once again, I honestly believe if we'd had that marketing level way up on day one, it would be a different story today. We all understand that the weather and lack of skippers have played a big part for us not sailing as often as we should have and would have liked to. But we now have three skippers, well, actually four, but one's about to retire in the near future. So we're better positioned than we've ever been over the last 10 years. The weather, though, is something we can't control. A couple of questions I'd like answered, Mayor, through you to probably Mr. Dobson. Have we applied through the Heritage Stream for funding for the ongoing maintenance of the vessel? I understand Heritage has... I've read on the website there's a lot of money going every which way, so it certainly is worth a try. And the second question is, have we contacted the Australian Maritime College at Beauty Point or in Launceston? I did meet a chance meeting with Michael Van Balen, the new head of the AMC, the other night, and I feel it'd be worthwhile meeting with him in relation to training options for those who attend the AMC. I'd also just like to make a quick comment on sometime back we received a letter from a local resident. He had good intentions of saving council money, but unfortunately some of his statement was full of inaccuracies, which need to be further clarified before a decision can be made on such a proposal, and that was berthing the JB in a pen or a marina. It's not as simple as he portrays, and it certainly would require a very significant amount of money or capital injection into that, and that would be very short term and it'd be very difficult to justify and could prove more costly. Given the current condition of the vessel, it's the opinion of some that a far better and less costly exercise is to pursue the current operating plan and leave investigating alternate methods of reducing our operating costs. Also relating to the use of the bay area, immediately upstream of Muscle Rock, this needs to be put to bed one way or the other. If council are going, in fact, to consider developing the area into a pen or a marina-style facility, I would suggest we undertake careful and a full feasibility study before making any commitments. As I've been told by experts, it's arguably the worst section of the river being subjected to all weather, tides and shipping, plus the area, as you can imagine, is not called Muscle Rock for no reason. Not sailing the vessel, tying up in a bay will still cause problems from the wash from passing ships, safety and vandalism. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Councillor Hollister.
Yes, I'm supporting option three, option C. I volunteered on the Julie Burgess for, well, ever since it went back into the water. Council's rates and fees subsidise most council functions. Parks, for instance, cost $2.6 million. Sports grounds cost another $1.1 million. Swimming pool, even though it's leased out, still costs council $1.3 million. And then events, the gallery, information centres, convention facilities, Bass Strait Centre cost about $3.5 million. So I believe the $56,000, which is the budget for this year for the Julie Burgess, is insignificant compared to what we spend on other things. I don't believe the Julie Burgess has had the best use so far, and there's new events already in the program for this coming year. We also need to be alongside for special events like New Year's Eve, Taste the Harvest, Christmas Parade, a little bit difficult this year because it's going to be out at the mouth of the river, same with the Christmas carols. Well, Roundhouse Park is under construction, but even so, the Julie Burgess would look pretty good down around there at the time of the night. We actually have four skippers at the moment. Even if one's thinking of retiring, I think he's finding it pretty hard to retire. So that should allow some or less cancellations of sailings, you know, from a crew point of view. Can't do anything with the weather. And probably lastly, the national promotions that we get from having the Julie Burgess on ABC radio and TV, which it has been in the last 12 months. We've been on other national TV programs, and even if it's only for 30 seconds, there's nothing looks better than the Julie Burgess on a TV program. It's been on the Today Show and some of the other morning shows. So hopefully, you know, you cannot buy that sort of advertising that you get nationally. So I'm all for keeping the Julie Burgess where it is. It still needs, I think, a couple of years to get it right. Hopefully the maintenance is in the best condition that it's ever been, and a lot of the problems we're having before shouldn't eventuate again. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Look, it's with a heavy heart that I disagree with the previous two speakers. Councillor Hollister made the point that council has other loss or negative revenue activities. He mentioned some sporting facilities and splash swimming pool and throw-in parks, community halls and the like, that are all cost negative. But those other assets are part of what council's responsibilities are, and they have a social dividend and a social benefit. The facilities that Councillor Hollister mentioned service thousands and thousands of people a year, and I don't think, well, the Julie Burgess doesn't do that, and I can't see the current model ever getting to a point where it can get close to that. If you have a look at the numbers in the report, in 2017-18, 2018-19, there were 179 scheduled sailings, and 134 of that 179 were cancelled. Now, I think therein lies the issue with the Julie Burgess for a range of reasons. The weather's been mentioned. Well, of those 134 cancellations, the weather was responsible for 17. So it's not the issue. The issue is it's a volunteer-based vessel, and as hard as the volunteers have tried to make this work, it's a problematic asset to make work. And I think it must be one of the most vexing assets council officers has to deal with on a day-to-day basis, because nothing's finite about the Julie Burgess. It sits on water, has eight motors or eight engines, I believe. It can be a runaway train in terms of expense, and it's very uncapped. It's very difficult to ascertain what the budget will be on an ongoing basis. And for that reason, I don't think the Julie Burgess could work in any model, any business model. I just don't think there's a demand for it. I don't think outside the maritime circles in the city, in the town, and even the state, there is enough interest in the Julie Burgess for it to survive in its current operating model. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman, then Councillor Murphy.
I'm off again. Thank you. Oh, it's going to play up tonight. The Julie Burgess is one of the most magnificent ships, and I have proudly been on it now three times, and I think it's a shame a lot of Devonport people that I know, locals, have not taken the time to have a go on having a sail on that vessel, because I think the time is up now for us to move on, and we've had 10 years to find ways to get people on board and using the vessel for what was the whole purpose of it, getting all that money put towards it in the beginning. I think we've just about replaced every board, every item on the vessel, so it's not really restored anymore. It's brand new. Councillor Laycock, you talk about getting funds. Why didn't we get funds before from the Heritage Council or whoever you're talking about? Where is the interest from the Maritime Centre? You know, we talk about things now, but we've been workshopping this for so long, and we're trying to get bang for our buck out of this, and it's just not working. 22 people can get on board that vessel at a time. We've had so many cancellations for so many different reasons, and one of the major ones is because of our wonderful volunteers. We just don't have them available to us for when we want the sailings to happen. And to cancel is just the worst thing. So, unfortunately, I'm certainly not going to be going for option C. I'm looking at probably option B. It's probably a better time for us to see if someone wants to take it on, and maybe that would be the best way to promote Devonport and the area for its history. Maybe that's a different way for us to look at if we do pass it on to someone else to have it, and then we can have it advertising what was our history, our maritime background, and that might be the best way we can do what we can with the vessel the way it is and the way that we've restored it. So I think it's time for us to move on. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy?
Well, I tend to agree with the previous two speakers. Although, again, from a personal perspective, there is no better sight on that river when you see that thing sail past. And in my business, and I see a dozen to 14 to 20 people grab their phones and they walk out and take photos of it, it is pretty cool. There's no doubt about that. But there is the cost. And I think there could be, if possible, an amalgamation of option B and C, where we could see the vessel go to somewhere like Hobart and actually do that, promote Devonport. You know, let's take the mountain to Muhammad and let's hope Muhammad will come up and see where the mountain came from. I think this is the thing. It does provide some unique opportunities if it is where the people are, and I think that's the biggest issue. It's a far better environment in the southern end of the state. It's a lot more sheltered and have a lot more capacity. But for us to lose it altogether, it would be heart-wrenching.
No doubt about that.
But we do have to look at the fiscal responsibility that we have in relation to the expenditure of public money. So I won't be supporting option C, but I would like to see option C potentially expanded if we're talking about additional marketing and associated costs, whether they can be inclusive of sending it to Hobart for periods of time and occasionally it comes back to Devonport for, as you've stated, particular events, New Year's Eve, Taste of the Harvest, and it could be a way that it could potentially make money.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Are there any other comments? Councillor Milbourne.
I think as Tasmanians, we do not promote ourselves very well, and I think the Julie Burgess has been a remnant of not great marketing, and there's a lot of work that we could do to promote all our council-owned attractions and cross-promote it with Home Hill, the museum, the gallery, etc. The Julie Burgess is culturally and educationally significant to this area. I don't think sending it anywhere is going to help promote our area or just help promote Tasmania in general. I think there is so much that could be done to the Julie Burgess, and perhaps we just need to have more of a think tank and a little bit more of a marketing spend in the area to actually get it up and running well. I would not like to see it go out of the council hands just yet until it's had a really good go.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Councillor Laycock to close.
Thank you, Mayor. Interesting comments there, and I do respect everyone's right to speak. Alderman Perry mentioned, you know, all the other facilities that cost that Alderman Hollister spoke about previously, but not everybody, like you're saying, uses every facility. So it's sort of a mixed bag, isn't it? Some will use the pool, some will use the Julie Burgess. Julie Burgess is there for tourism as well as for the local people. As has been said, we can't help bad weather, but more likely, I think Leon, Councillor Perry said, it's the skippers, but we've just said two or three times in this debate that there's more skippers there to do that. So, and that the ship is in a much better condition. So you've got it where you want it, so you then cut it down and throw it out. I don't understand the reasoning there. And for Councillor Jarman, we haven't had it working to capacity for 10 years. Capacity is when the marketing's kicked in 18 months ago, and that's what why I would like to see that extended, to give it a fair go. And Councillor Jarman, everyone around this table sat through many workshops on funding and what can we do. It's come to a council meeting before, but it's up to all of us. It's not just look at one across the table and say, why didn't we? I don't know. There are ideas you put forward. and we need to do something with it. And it's nice to be able to tell the public gallery that we've had many workshops on it. It just doesn't come up and we tick it or cross it. I see Councillor Murphy's doing his best to help out, which is good. The JB goes to Hobart every second year for the Australian Wooden Boat Festival, and that is phenomenal down there. People know where it comes from and what happens. But I'll just say to you, when something like that goes out, it's like you're lending your car. It's not going to be looked after. It's going to cost the people in Devonport a lot more money. Am I right in saying that? I can see there's volunteers from the JB sitting here, even though I'd like to think that happens. I think the answer here, and I'd just like to make note of what Mr. Martin said during the his question, is that we have achieved, or we, Council, the Joyly Burgess, what it was put down for immediately. So we need now to work with it. And I think the operational committee, all the volunteers, all the councillors and staff with marketing ideas need to get together and come up with a different model. Now, I've heard lots of things put around as to what can be done. Now, I mentioned the winter sailing I went on, which was great. We can do, even in winter, we can do evening cruises on the river. We can do daytime cruises on the river during winter. That's something that hasn't come up before. And that's from the volunteers and the skipper. We can tap into the corporate market. We really do need to knock on the doors of these businesses and say, take your staff out, whether the staff pay for it or the boss does, for a bonding session. But that's really important. And what I mentioned earlier about the Australian Maritime College, the federal government for funding for maintenance, as I said earlier, if you let this go and you haven't ticked all these boxes, it's not good. It's not the way to go. Sailings. Can I just ask Mayor, the public gallery keeps quiet while I'm speaking? I'm getting a little bit annoyed of the undertone from just over here. Thank you.
Please take that on board. Any members of the gallery, please.
Thank you, Mayor. With our conferences coming in, I know that Jeff would say, yes, this is happening. Promote with the conference organisers that when they get here, this has got this special sailing kitch that can be leased out. The Joyly Burgess has had a few trips to Ulverston, which is great, but we could probably expand on that if we sat down and did this marketing workshop. It could go to Ulverston, Burnie, Launceston, and even down to Hobart, because they're places where it's been before. Am I right, Councillor Hollister? There's four events. October's already got a lot of bookings for it as far as events and what they want, and there's four there that are great events for the people of Devonport as far as the Devonport Food and Wine Festival go. And I honestly believe if the Joyly Burgess goes to a static display, we're going to lose our volunteers. We risk vandalism, health and safety, because it's going to be very difficult to look after. And if it did go to a static display, there's likely to be little or no reduction in the hull maintenance. I'm winding up now, Mayor, because I know I've just about used my time, but I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and recognise the master and the volunteers of the JB, the former Deputy Mayor and successful Alderman Graham Kent. He's done an outstanding job, because I know I was working with him on this, in putting in hundreds of volunteer hours with the volunteers and a lot of his own money to get the JB to where it is today. We had a really good person at the helm that understood boats and had council's interests at heart. Without them, we wouldn't have without our volunteers to crew and work on the vessel at all times, we wouldn't have the Joyly Burgess as long as we've had it. So I'd like you to take on those improvements, my fellow aldermen, and please consider voting for option C to stay with the existing arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. I'll close the debate and put the motion. All those in favour of option C as printed, please say aye. Those against? I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milbourne, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Hollister. Those against? Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry, Councillor Alexio, Councillor Jarman. The motion is lost. In which case, is there
can I put a note to the motion?
Put an alternative motion.
I'd like to see what my fellow colleagues feel about option B. Councillor. And I take on board what Councillor Murphy said about adding
some things to it if we need to.
Councillor Jarman, is there a seconder for option B as per the...
Yes, I'll second that.
Councillor Alexio, thank you. Do I have a... sorry, I do. Thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Look, there's been a lot of debate and I understand we've all had a little bit to say so far other than perhaps Councillor Alexio. But I just think I'd just refer to page 48. There's the top paragraph. It says, if I can read it from here, the relevant data detailed in this report demonstrates that Council does not have the capacity or human resources to increase and diversify the operations of Julie Burgess as a visitor attraction. I think we've had time to do everything we can in our power to make this a successful venture. So I believe it's time to call it as it is and move on. I will see what my fellow colleagues think.
Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Councillor Alexio.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo those words of Councillor Jarman. I think the crucial thing here is just the suitable operator is probably the main important thing in option B. We do get a suitable operator that if we do release the Julie Burgess, that we do find a suitable operator that's going to do the right thing for Devonport, I suppose. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister.
We all know my feelings. I think what Councillor Jarman just stated previously is nowhere near true, so we can argue about that as well.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just in relation to option B, I note in the report it says, in referring to option B, this action would ensure the vessel remains in operation locally. What guarantee or what assurance is there that the vessel will remain in operation locally if we gift it or sell it?
I'm assuming
we can make that conditional of the sale or a gift, could we?
Well, we've said a suitable operator, but I might defer to perhaps Mr. Dobson.
The intent of a suitable operator was someone who should council felt it's appropriate for future investment, whether that makes sense in the
Yep. Okay, thanks. Oh, well, I'll be happy with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes, oh, go with Lee. I haven't got my
mind. Oh, I apologise, Councillor Murphy.
Yeah, as I stated previously, I don't necessarily want to see us lose the vessel altogether. I think there potentially is the opportunity for us to expand on option B. Whether that forms a partnership with another entity and to...
Councillor Murphy, are you looking to put an amendment to the motion or just... thinking out loud at this point.
If the mover of the motion is happy to accept it,
Would you like to put the amendment and then I will ask the mover in a second?
That we advertise expressions of interest to enter into a partnership arrangement with the Devonport City Council in relation to operating the vessel.
So are you suggesting that as either to sell or gift or to enter into a partnership?
As a third option. Yeah, include a third option.
I'm happy to accept that if I have a look at the way it's written. Thanks, Jackie. After sell, you probably... Or into... Yeah, well done. Into a partnership agreement with the Devonport City Council.
Partnership arrangement.
Is that what you're looking for, Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, that looks okay.
So I don't need to move that as make that motion.
I accept that.
I'm happy with that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Can you speak to it because it's been amended?
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else, Councillor Murphy?
No, as I said, I think... looking at the time frame from the other options, I think then it just extends our opportunity to actually to see whether it can be viable, because as it's stated and as Councillor Perry has already mentioned, when you look at the stats over the past 10 years, they have been in a steady decline. So if we can arrest that, this may be a perfect opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Councillor Perry, did you have something
else? Madam Chair. I can see where Councillor Murphy's going with the partnership agreement, but my concern with the partnership agreement is it still maintains some liability, or depending on what the partnership agreement looks like, a fair bit of liability for the Devonport City Council, and really, in essence, that's what we're trying to deal with here. And I can't accept a partnership agreement. I can accept a gift, or gift the vessel to a suitable operator, or sell, and it remain in the Devonport waters or close by. But the partnership agreement, I think, just makes it a little bit murkier for me, and I can't accept it as it is.
I guess just to clarify, it's to seek expressions of interest. It's not saying that is exactly what we're going to end up with. Just to clarify. Where do we go? Councillor Laycock.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. This is a difficult one. The way the motion is framed there, the option, means that if we can't get a partnership agreement, we can sell it or give it away. I don't think that anybody with that amount of money we'd want for the Jewellery Burgess would be perhaps in our area. I can see if it goes up for sale, it'll go where it is. I mean, you've only got to look at the wonderful history that Chris Binks wrote about the Jewellery Burgess and how important it is, and I just don't think that it's going to fit in there. And that gives us three options in one. It softens it a little bit to say the partnership agreement, which is not a bad addition in a way, but if I was to vote for that, and like Councillor Hollister, you know my feelings, then we can turn around without coming back to a council meeting and just sell it. So I'll speak against it. Thank you, Mayor.
Can I just clarify that any offer, any proposal would come back to a council meeting for a decision? That would be absolutely paramount, I would think.
That's fine, but I will speak. Speaking against the motion. Thank you, Mayor.
Were there any other comments, Councillor Milbourne? Did you?
You can't get an asset like this back, so I'm disappointed that we've got to this point. However, my question is leasing an option? Is that what we're talking about in the partnership agreement? Same kind of thing?
Okay. Anyone with anything new to add? I will ask Councillor Jarman to close.
Thank you. I think this gives us options. This now allows us to look at either getting an expression of interest for someone to purchase it. We either then decide if perhaps that doesn't happen, what we do with gifting the vessel, or we enter in a partnership agreement if it comes to us and we find it a valid agreement that we agree to. It all has to come back to council to decide. I think this just gives us three options now and a better way to move forward with what we have. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion asking for quiet in the gallery, please, or I will clear the gallery. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour, please say aye. Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry, Councillor Rockliffe, Councillor Alexio, Councillor Jarman. Those against? Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milbourne, Councillor Hollister. The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 5.2, National Trust Australia Partnership Agreement for Home Hill. Do I have a mover of the motion, please? Councillor Hollister, do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Hollister.
It's all in the report. It's just a renewal of our partnership with the National Trust, so nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Exactly that. It's just another renewal.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Jarman?
I just implore everybody out there, if you haven't been to Home Hill, please do a visit. It is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Hollister to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Against, motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.1 is workshops and briefings since the last council meeting. Do I have a mover of that recommendation,
so moved.
Please? Councillor Jarman, do I have a seconder?
You do, ma'am. Oh, sorry.
Councillor Milbourne, thank you. Councillor Jarman.
Nothing further. It's all there.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is the Mayor's monthly report for the last 4 weeks.
So moved.
Councillor Laycock, do I have a seconder? Councillor Perry. Any comments, Councillor Laycock?
Yes, Mayor, you've been very busy as usual. I'd just like to comment on your attendance on board the HMAS on Friday night. It was lovely to see you there and to support the Melbourne being in port, and that you did a farewell sail right down the coast today, and I understand all the other councils were made aware. This sort of dovetails in with the motion I put up some time ago that we work with the Navy, and I'm working very closely with Mrs. Hampton to ensure that we do that, as well as the cruise ships, because they love coming in here, and it's a matter of Devonport, with our maritime history, putting our hand up and saying we're here, come in for R&R, or if your cruise ship come in, and I can tell you from experience that these ships do take a lot more out of our port than you realise, and so they're very valuable to have here. So, Mayor, your ongoing support, I know you'll be supporting as the others are, that motion in the future that we do more with the Navy. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry?
No, I reiterate Councillor Laycock's comments and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Alexia?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I'd just like to say congratulations on visiting the Eastern Port Primary School on that last night on the book week. It was great to see some of the photos on social media.
Kids like the frock. thank you, but that's always a joy to do that with young people. One of the perks of the job, there aren't many. I will close the debate. Thank you, Councillor Laycock.
Closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's report for August 2019. Do I have a mover, please? Councillor Hollister. Seconder?
Seconded.
Councillor Milbourne, thank you. Councillor Hollister?
Nothing further to add. It's all in the report.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne?
Nothing further.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Hollister to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.0, Section 23, Committees. 7.1 is the Infrastructure Works and Development Committee meeting of the 12th of August. Do I have a mover for that recommendation, please?
Second.
Perry, Councillor Jarman. Councillor Perry?
Procedural only and accurate reflection of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman?
Nothing further.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.2, a minutes of the Planning Authority Committee meeting of the 19th of August. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Milbourne, seconder?
Second.
Councillor Jarman, Councillor Milbourne?
Nothing further to add.
Councillor Jarman?
Nothing further.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Milbourne to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously, that being the end of the open session of the meeting. I need a mover and seconder to move into closed session, please. Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Councillor Milbourne, thank you. Any comments, questions?
Nope. Just a question, if I may. Does it need to say that we are recording this at all? No?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Perry.
Consider it closed.
I was just going to question, would it be relevant to ask the members of the gallery, the public gallery, to vacate to the first story of the building, considering that it will be audio recorded?
We will have a short recess until the building's... thank you for the comment, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Perry to close.
I'll put the
motion. Thank you. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously, that being the end of the public part of the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your attendance. And we will have a 4-minute break.